if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk.
All right. Good morning. I am so excited to be here. I love Nathan and Marla and so many people of the community here. I'm fortunate to have a relationship with and be connected to. And I believe God's given me a very specific word for this morning. And don't worry, it's not just for you. It's also for me. Somehow all my sermons are to myself, but it's okay. So let's pray this morning as we enter in here. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the God that allows us to get in over our heads and hold us the whole time. God, we thank you that you traffic in love, not in fear. And Lord, I ask today, Jesus, that if any of us, God, are in fear or anxiety this morning, Lord, would you, by your presence, dispel that fear? So for this time that we're together as community, Lord, we can traffic in love together here as you intended. Open our ears, our eyes, our hearts this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Nathan mentioned, I have the privilege of doing some traveling from time to time. I live in Northern California, in God's country, in Santa Rosa, up in the wine country. And I just got back from the Philippines about 10 days ago. I know you have a team going almost to that part of the world, to Thailand next month, which I'm really excited to hear about your team and your adventures over there. And in the Philippines, we were doing some work with children's homes, girls, mostly girls. There were some boys as well, but predominantly girls, high school and college age. And the children's homes there are run by nuns. It's a Catholic country. I grew up Catholic, so I love nuns, and it's really fun for me to hang out with nuns and talk to nuns. Some of you might be traumatized by any Catholic upbringing you have, but, you know, I did get hit with rulers a few times, but overall, it's a good experience. And I was talking to Sister Myra at this one home that we were at, and she was telling me, I was asking about, most of the nuns are missional, so they travel, they go to different homes and convents kind of all over the Philippines during different parts of their lives. And she says, and then, as we get older, we just come here as a hub, and then we're not doing our specific jobs anymore, whether it's teaching or nurses or janitors or whatever. They have all very specific jobs. She says that we just come here to live out the rest of our days, and then we have what we call the ministry of presence. And I was like, that's so awesome. I want that. That sounds awesome. And it was so amazing because there was multiple times over the few days we were there that I would see these older nuns, you know, with a cane, and they're just walking around, but they're being with the kids, they're being with each other, and they call that the ministry of presence. I thought that's such a beautiful expression, and what a beautiful thing to have the generations be able to have that exchange, right? And so it was a little convicting, honestly, for me. I started imagining what kind of ministry is my presence. I invite you into that this morning as we look at something very specific. I know that you just finished up a series on I Told Me So, yes? Yeah. Did you enjoy that series? Yeah. About lies we tell ourselves. And so I thought, you know, I feel like when Nathan asked me to speak, I should just share my favorite lie. Why not? We're on a roll here, right? And so this is what God has showed me. My favorite lie is about self-sufficiency. Is about, you can do it on your own. You're in this on your own. You don't need anybody. Amen. I know you all feel me on that. And the Lord led me to this scripture, which I may seem a little strange at first, but I'm going to ask you to bear with me as I do my best to help you connect the dots. So this is out of James 4, 13, 17. And you can follow along on your phones or wherever. I know it's probably behind me. Yes, fantastic. And he says this, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Okay, what? Like, how do these things go together? And this passage, for me, seems a little strange, especially when it's out of context. I mean, if we look at the whole context, there's a bigger message that's being communicated here. And James, specifically the book of James, are about really resisting the devil and drawing near to God, humbling yourself, intimacy with God and others, not speaking evil of your brothers and sisters. So that's the context of his book, in, of course, the bigger context of the whole Bible, which is the love story, right, that God is drawing us into. So thematically, he's addressing humility and intimacy with Jesus. And he's just doing it in different ways. And I'm going to suggest this morning that humility and intimacy with Jesus go together, like peas and carrots. They're connected. You can't have intimacy with Jesus without embracing your need for him. And it's really challenging to embrace your need for Jesus if you decide you don't need anyone else. Because just me and Jesus, that's not really a thing. I know that it seems like maybe it could be, but to embrace this reality that not only do we need Jesus, but we actually need each other, it's humbling. It's, to me, it's confrontive at times. Because I like to think, well, I'm super competent. I can just GSD, get stuff done. And, you know, why do I need to be burdened by all this other situation that's drama and et cetera? Because our self-sufficiency and the need for what we might call independence is really at the heart of all kinds of mischief. And if you have children, you know it starts early on in life, like 2 years old, right? I do it myself. And some of us are still saying that. I do it myself. And James is provoking us here to examine the fruit of our independence, our self-sufficiency. He says, hey, look, it shows up in the way we order our steps, the way we plan our futures. Perhaps without even thought of obedience to the Lord, without considering how we are to steward our passions or our giftings or our lives, without considering others. And it's a really interesting tension. It's a very interesting tension. I know for many years, Marla worked in Afghanistan, and I had the privilege of working with her over there on a number of occasions. And it's very common in that area of the world when you give a commitment to something, like I'll meet you tomorrow for lunch, blah, blah, blah. At the end you say, inshallah, inshallah, if God wills. And I mean, that's great. That's a great acknowledgement, and it's beautiful. And what tends to happen in our self-sufficiency is that can also be this fantastic window for what I like to call weasel room, that we're like, you know, hey, something better came along, so inshallah that, right? You're like, what just happened? Oh, yeah, it's just slippery. It can be very slippery. And I think as humans, our natural tendency is to give ourselves some weasel room to do what we want instead of what we say we will be doing or who we are committed to be. And if you examine the Greek here, another way to interpret it is if it aligns with what God intends or if it's pleasing to the Lord. Now, I don't think the intention of this verse was to make whatever plans you want and then just tag on the end, oh yeah, if God wills it, right? Especially given the prior verses, which are about drawing near to God and connecting, it sounds more like a presumption in a way than humility to hear it that way. And notice the categories James uses here. He says, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. That's what he's talking about in the beginning. So there's five areas he's addressing here. Time. We love to be independent with that, right? Time. Today or tomorrow, he addresses purpose. We will go. Place. To this or that city. Goals. To carry on business. And of course, reward. To make money. Now, are these are five areas for me, my self-sufficiency tends to eat my lunch at times if I am not paying attention. And it does it in all kinds of different ways. And he is touching all these areas that we as humans, we like to elevate, we like to obsess on, and sometimes are often confused by time, purpose, place, goals, and reward. Just take a minute and like, wow, how do I relate to all those things? Time, purpose, place, goals, and reward. It's interesting. James is pressing his finger on what I think, from my perspective, has become a major pathology in our society, which is becoming overcommitted, overextended, stressed out, anxious, frantic, dissatisfied, compulsive people. Now, are any of those experiences God's will for us? No. So, how did we get there? Because I do it myself, right? I do it myself. You did a good job, self. Sometimes I look at my calendar and I'm like, you're going to fire your assistant. So I'm like, what on earth, right? So I'm going to ask you to consider that experience with this ministry of presence. Okay, I'm just going to hold those two things like this morning. If we are intimately connected to Jesus, our hearts are towards him. They're towards him. What would you have for me in this moment, in this season? We would desire to hear his voice, right? To please him, to be connected with him, to be with him. And out of that connection, then make choices about our direction, our commitments, the way we live in relationship with people. Now, here's one thing that is always true. Connection determines direction. Connection determines direction. I can't even say that. Connection determines direction. So whoever or whatever you are connected most to will determine the direction of your life. Will determine the lean, the bend of your will and your choices. So if you're not sure who or what you're really connected to, just look at results. Results don't have an opinion. They just are. They're like, oh, that's interesting. They're just data. And the results sometimes will communicate back to us the things that are really hard to hear or see in ourselves. So out of our passions flow the course of our lives. And when we're authentically passionate about our relationship with Jesus, it flows into our decision making. It flows into how we relate to others. It flows into our development and maintenance of this amazing thing we call community that I love you talk so much about here. I mean, think about this. Jesus himself did not make independent decisions. He didn't, right? I only do what I hear the Father speak to me. So that's Jesus. So isn't it so interesting when we get all, I do it myself? We're following this Jesus, connected to him. So all throughout the scripture, we see Jesus addressing this attitude of heart, this independent, I'm on my own, I don't need anybody attitude of heart. Whether he is saying, hey, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Or he's asking the rich young ruler to give up his possessions because it wasn't about his possessions. It was about the attitude of his heart towards those possessions. What was his heart connected to? Or suggesting even that if you commit adultery in your heart, then you have sinned. You see, we have this responsibility to train our passions and our desires, to steward them, to train them, to direct our hearts and redirect our hearts towards Jesus, if that's who we say we're about. And the truth is, at least for me at times, man, I don't tend to stay connected with Jesus, with other people. We flow in and out, right, of intimacy. There's this battle between his will and our will. And I can't tell you how many times when I talk to people, the attitude is almost like, well, if I do God's will, somehow he's going to have me doing something I don't want to do. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, could do God's will, that'd be awful. Like, or it's going to be some crazy sacrifice that is completely out of alignment with my natural giftings or passion. Now, God's not a tyrant. I can be a tyrant, but God's not a tyrant. Just ask my husband. He doesn't impose his will on us. So we can choose. We get to choose. And all day long, we're making these choices. And often, we choose independently. After all, I'm the boss of me. And sometimes we confuse our ability to make a choice with relying exclusively on ourselves for the choice. We get those things mixed up. And I believe in my wanderings throughout the world and being with people that this is a huge cause of anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear. And anxiety is becoming epidemic in our culture. It's very popular. Some people will defend their anxiety. I've noticed. When you're like, hey, can I pray about that? Like, no. Okay. We don't want to take that away. I'm sorry. And because it can be so seductive. It's almost like a security blanket, but not really security, like the fear, the envelopment of fear creates something that in our independence seems like security, right? But it's really like I'm slowly being strangled by this giant blanket. And I don't notice it. I don't see it. Independence is often interpreted as self-reliance. And we don't talk about the sin of self-sufficiency much because it doesn't seem like a bad thing. And listen, I'm not saying don't make choices for yourself or yes to all those things. I'm asking you to consider it's the attitude of heart, right? It's the attitude of heart. There is nothing holy about not needing anyone or anything. That's not sacred. That's not holy. That's not honoring. To say to someone, I have no need of you, is a way to dishonor them. And you weren't created for that. Now, I know this notion is quite countercultural, especially in the United States of America. It's very countercultural here. And the lie I tell myself about independence is I don't need anyone else. And furthermore, it's dangerous to rely on people because you know what they're going to do? Yeah, because it's happened. They're going to disappoint. They're going to betray. They're going to mess up. Thankfully, I don't do any of those things, but you know, others are crazy. So it's dangerous to rely on other people. It's dangerous to be intimately connected in any way that may influence my choice in life. And the lie I tell myself is that I'm alone after all. I'm an orphan. Not a son, not a daughter in this eternal kingdom, in this beautiful family that has a multitude of expressions in every human on the planet. I'm not part of that. I am just here. No one can see me. No one wants to see me. I'm orphaned. And this is orphan conversation that I need to do it myself, that I need to be self-sufficient. No, you're not an orphan. You're a son. You're a daughter. You are community. You are family. You're designed to be in relationship. And every time we push against our design, we find life is hard. It's way harder than it has to be. Because we are designed to carry each other's burdens, not to lug it around on our own. And this idea of self-sufficiency so easily slides into self-protection, which very easily is a form of violence. Now, I say violence because I often, if I'm in self-protection mode, I think if there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just like, I don't want to get hurt. That's normal. I'm not saying be a masochist. I'm asking you to consider that there are times when this self-protection ends up pushing people away because they are coming towards me. If you are breathing, people are coming towards you. I'm sorry. If you don't see people are coming towards you, that's probably because you're being violent and you can't see it. You're this, and they're this, and you're this. And it doesn't matter whether it's a friend or a spouse or a family member. It tends to be a violent act. And I'm going to ask you just to try that on this morning. And in case we're not picking up on James' message here, in the second half of the verse 14, he really brings the hammer down. He says, what is your life but a wisp of fog, a vapor? Notice he's not saying you are. He's saying your life here is. In the scheme of eternity, our life here is it's a vapor. It's a wisp. But even so, here's what's so mind-blowing to me. Even so, even given that, the way that we live it and the way we relate to this time that we have here is important. Because guess what? You're already in eternity. Eternity's already started because it's always been and it will always be. So this is your peace here that every moment, right? Every moment, every choice echoes into the lives of others and into eternity. Right on. Every moment. Whether we like it or not. You can have whatever opinion you want about it. And it doesn't change the reality. And look at this next verse, 16. You boast in your arrogance. Oh, thanks. See, this sin James is exposing here is not just the sin of omission, neglecting to recognize God's rule over our affairs. It's a sin of commission. They even boast about their self-sufficiency. They say, look at me, I don't need anyone. Nobody can hurt me. I got this. And such boasting is therefore especially evil, because it is a blasphemous denial of God's grace, his care, his unfailing love in our lives. And it also flies in the face of this generous and lavish gift of community. See, community is where greatness happens. Your greatness is developed and expressed in community. Other people's greatness developed and expressed in community. Community is the place we call each other into the fullest expression of our design. You don't get to do that alone on the couch eating potato chips. Nothing wrong with it, I'm just saying. It's not going to evoke the fullness of the greatness you were designed to be for others. Have you ever just loved somebody just so much and it just seemed like they didn't give you the time of day? Think back to high school, okay? Think back. You're like puppy, just like wandering around, like, oh, like the hearts and the eye emoji, and you're just like, and they don't even see you? Yeah, wow, unrequited love. I wonder if that's how Jesus feels sometimes. Because we're not really paying attention sometimes. The next verse on 17, hey, you know about the good you ought to do, and you don't do it. You ignore the Spirit. You ignore God's Spirit speaking to you. Have you ever had the experience of your conscience alerting you to something, and then you just ignore it? You ignore it, you ignore it, you ignore it. I knew I needed to talk to them. I drove by their house 15 times, never stopped. Yeah, we always have pretty good, at least I do, really good rationalizations for it. Well, you know, it'd be awkward if I just stopped out the middle of nowhere and just knocked on the door. Would it? Would it be more awkward than not talking to them? I don't know. Just say no. We have amazing ability to think. We're brilliant. And attitude of heart, what are we using our brilliance for? What are we doing with it? How is it contributing to community or not? James fully expects that a humble heart will manifest itself in humble actions. And an arrogant heart, an arrogant attitude, will manifest itself in arrogant actions. This is logical. So then it's natural for him to say in verse 17, don't merely say that you want to know God's will or that you recognize your dependence on his will. Look carefully about what God has already said. Do that. I don't know what to do. I have a hint. What has God already said? What has he already said? Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is my favorite dictionary, before language got completely decimated like it is today, defines independence as a state of not being dependent, complete exemption from control or the power of others. A state in which a person does not rely on others for sustenance, your ability to support oneself. A state of mind in which a person acts without bias or influence from others. Exemption from influence. Ooh, do you want to be exempt from influence? I hope not. Jesus got some influence he wants to pour over you. He calls it God's Spirit. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, right? Influence. So as followers of Jesus, let us not lose sight of our complete and utter reliance on him. We are dependent on him for our very breath. Breathe him in, breathe him out, and we welcome his influence and his power in every aspect of our lives. At least we do while we're singing worship songs. Oh, man. And then later, you know, what? Did I just... The reality of this honestly never becomes more clear to me than when I'm traveling. Because it is so easy in our culture to be self-sufficient. It is designed that way. It is exalted. It is set up like that. And when I'm in Africa, when I'm in Zambia, South Africa, when I'm in Philippines, people pray for their next meal. And then God provides. Somebody just dropped off some chicken. I mean, over and over again, these amazing events happen. And I witness them. I see them. And we're so just easily disconnected from that level of dependence here. And it's easy. It's just easy for us. It's the level of convenience we live in is fantastic on one end and deadly on the other end. And I could tell you stories all morning about people praying and something just occurring because of a prayer, because of a willingness to humble themselves and just ask the Lord, like, God, I need you to show up today. We got to feed the kids. And he does. And people don't, like, I don't know where this came from. Okay, well, it probably came from God. And what's beautiful about that is when there is provision, there is immediate acknowledgement of where it came from. Immediately. They're like, this is what we prayed for. Here, sometimes we go, this is what I've been working for. Which, okay. And I was talking to a friend of mine about a year and a half ago. She and her husband in the middle of this messy divorce, and she's working. She's a personal trainer, so, you know, getting clients, da-da-da-da-da. And she was like, I just feel like God has abandoned me. I go, really, tell me about your business. She goes, well, it's actually going really well. I go, oh, and you think that's all you? She was all, I'm like, yeah. Because, of course, I do it myself. I do everything myself. So it's not automatically, we don't automatically associate provision and blessing with God's care and his abundance in our relationship with him. When, of course, he's with us, whether we're with him or not, right? He's still with us. So next month, 4th of July, woo, as we celebrate our independence, let it be an acknowledgement of our many, many freedoms and blessings here in this country. And let it be a reminder of the value of community, of the freedom we have to commune, to come together to worship, to come together to pray. That is not a freedom in many places on this earth. Let it be a reminder of trusting God, staying connected to other people, and the reality that we're not alone and we were never intended to be alone. So that if we feel alone, that's another lie we're telling ourselves. There's something that we're not seeing that's in the real world. How many of you know you like to make up your own world? I love my own world. It all works out there. And when I disconnect from reality, it causes unnecessary suffering. And community is the provision for healing, for restoration, for joy, for love, for peace, for all the things, the fruits of the Spirit, all the gifts that God has for us. So this morning, I just invite you to examine your own heart. Whatever you may be struggling with at this moment, consider that all of our struggles are spiritual struggles. Struggles for self-reliance, struggles for control, and allow God to illuminate the places this morning that you've given your heart over to other passions. You've given your heart over to addictions or affections or some other place other than Jesus, and allow him to meet you here in this moment. Let this moment be the place where you turn, that you repent, that you give your heart fresh, re-give your heart over to the Lord, and consider, what is the ministry of your presence? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it rage? Is it hurt? Is it revenge? Is it unforgiveness? Is it beauty? Is it passion? Is it joy? Is it freedom? Because here's the amazing reality. You get to choose. You get to choose. And if you've blown it, you know what? Get up and go again. Get up and go again. God is absolutely 100% the God of getting up and going again. right? This is no accident he rose from the dead. You can't get up and go again more than that. I was like, wow, okay, I guess you sort of blew my mind on that one. Oh, all right. I guess I can, if I stumble, I can get up. If you can die and get back up, I can stumble and get back up, even if it's 100 times. So I pray that God ministered to you this morning in this time. Thank you so much for your warm reception. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks and have a great week.